High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Another failed attempt by Sinn Féin to take somebody out. How many no confidence votes have they lost? And somebody else says, Kieran, that was a very pejorative comment on your part, suggesting Verona Murphy might brazen it out. She has every right to defend herself against the opposition's behaviour. Why should she have to submit to the opposition's bullying? I challenge you to read this text out, but I fear you won't. There you go. Anyway, I brazened it out and I read the text. Danny McConnell is with me in studio to talk about this and more. Terry Prone is on the line as well, chair of the Communications Clinic. And we're going to hear in a few minutes' time from Niall Collins as well, the Fianna Fáil TD. Danny, I didn't give you your title, editor of the Business Post as well. Is there a sense that in terms of, let's park Verona for a moment, is there a sense, Danny, in terms of this speaking rights row, that we're kind of on the other side of the worst of it?
Yeah, because the vote has happened. And despite all the protestations from the opposition, a vote of the Dáil has taken place. A majority of the Dáil have now voted to adopt these new speaking rights or speaking rules. And ultimately, if they are Democrats, they may not like it, but they're going to have to accept it. So unless the opposition are going to go in day after day and try and disrupt and interrupt and force, you know, suspensions and postponements of the Dáil until they get their way, it'll probably peter out. I think we will have a motion of confidence. I think what we will have is the government tabling a motion of confidence to Trump. They're kind of almost kind of turn the motion of no confidence on its head. They clearly have a majority. I think a lot of people would have been appalled by the scenes in the Dáil yesterday. I don't think anybody could claim victory out of that. I think the government have made a fundamental error in digging their heels in relation to this issue. I just think, why was it, like, given the number and the margin of victory even for the formation of government and even on all the subsequent votes, you know, they've a buffer of about anywhere between 18 and 22. Did they really need to die in the dish on this particular issue? But again, they've made the decision. They're looking to brazen it out, to use that phrase. But they've paid a heavy price for it. And ultimately, the biggest price is we're 17 weeks on from the general election, and we've no committees formed. And that means there's no Public Accounts Committee, there's no Finance Committee, there's no Justice Committee, which had a number of big key pieces of legislation that needed to get through before the last election, one being the defamation bill, which is kind of important for us in the media, and many others. So literally, they're not doing their jobs at the moment. And ultimately, I think we want to see progress being made, and hopefully, there'll be a washout of the fallout of all of this, and ultimately, we'll see next week. But I think, if a motion of confidence is put down in Verona Murphy by the government, I think it'll be easily carried.
And for people who weren't paying, very close attention to the Dáil today, it was pretty much business as usual. Bit of shouting over and back, a bit of argy-bargy, but relatively normal proceedings, was it?
It was sort of incongruous because you had literally 3 feet away from the county corner, Mary Lou McDonald stepping up at leaders' question saying, I no longer have confidence in you, your position's not tenable.
Yeah.
Verona Murphy literally not batting an eyelid said, our next speaker is Vanna Batchett. You know what I mean? Like, she moved on, didn't raise the debate today, didn't even cut a kind of a chasing figure. She just sort of carry on as normal, basically. Mm. But I think everybody walked away from yesterday saying there was no appetite, I think, for a repeat of the sort of, like, the vista of, you know, such a phalanx of TD standing while the chair of the parliament is trying to conduct business. Now, whether she conducted herself appropriately yesterday or kind of effectively yesterday, I mean, clearly when you lose control of the Dáil like that, you know, you're not in a good space. And I think she allowed herself to be goaded into some more fiery exchanges, having, I think, tried to keep herself calm for a large part of it. But you can see the frustration building throughout that. I don't think Micheál Martin did the cause of trying to keep things calm yesterday. I mean, he struck a sort of defiant tone and was very, very strong in his attacks on Vanna Batchett in particular today, saying you're being dragged by Sinn Féin into this sort of
The spider web. Exactly. Sinn Féin spider web, as one of our texters put it.
You know, to act in a very un-Labour-like, you know, I mean, he talked of the tradition of the Labour Party being responsible, and Vanna Batchett got up and said, we're a serious party. He said that several times. But, you know, they've been caught, or they're certainly aligning themselves with the sort of more extreme elements who have allowed, I think allowed themselves get carried away in the Dáil yesterday, would be fair. Whatever their grievance, there was no excuse for what happened in the Dáil yesterday.
No, and one would wager that for the majority of people listening to this or watching news programmes last night or reading your paper at the weekend or online during the week, I mean, I get the sense that they're looking at it thinking, you know what, a plague on all your houses.
Sorry, there's no winners in this. Like, I mean, we've got tariffs coming in against European goods next Tuesday or next Wednesday. We have a housing crisis.
Who started the row? Who overreached? Who did what? We pay attention to that. Most people are not. They just think this is an absolute pox.
Like, most people said, like, you know, when the formation of the government was delayed by 24 hours, that was the row. Right, move on. You've had your spark. Yeah. You've caused your delay. But for it to happen again, I think is really unseemly. I think it's a pox on all their houses without question. But I don't think Mary Lou MacDonald, Ivana Bacic or other leading members of the opposition can walk away from what's happened this week and claim credit or a victory of any sort.
Terry Prone, as I said, is with us as well, chair of the Communications Clinic. Terry, is Verona Murphy's credibility damaged by all of this?
I think that when you start talking about credibility or people's confidence in somebody, there is an implication that there's something concrete and real being said. But the fact is that Verona Murphy, to use your great word, can brazen this out. And my betting is that she will brazen it out. I haven't met Verona Murphy, but I have met some of the people who have worked with her. And her attitude, her behaviour has always been of a tough woman who drives for whatever objective she wants. And also, remember what she has to lose. She has to lose money, prestige and staff. And I can't see Verona Murphy acceding to pressure from Mary Lou MacDonald or anybody else. I think she's going to fight it out.
What do you say, Terry, to claims that what we saw yesterday was misogyny writ large in the Dáil?
I don't actually see it as misogyny at all. I don't think that it was because she was a woman that she was put under such pressure. I think it was a quite different reason. If you look at the Cian Corla, who have taken up the office over the past 30 years, they are all people who come from within and are steeped in the understanding derived from being within a large political party. And so they know that, for example, let me give you a behaviour that simply wouldn't have happened if Verona knew the people that she was addressing in the way that she needed to. She needed to be saying yesterday, Deputy McConnell, you will resume your seat or I will have you removed from the chamber. Deputy Cuddihy, it is illegal, it's against the rules and you know it, to be filming using your mobile phone. You must stop that straight away. Instead of that, she did the fatal thing of an accusation that had no individual attached to it. She accused people of creating a holy show. And none of that would have happened either if she had come from a larger party or if she had been properly trained. One of the things that she should have been doing is taking photographs in front of her of every single member of the chamber and looking at the names, looking at the affiliation and getting somebody to almost play cards with her so that she couldn't be faulted, she couldn't be made ignorant as she was yesterday.
I mean, I'm a little disappointed you didn't at least make me a minister in that fantasy, Terry. But anyway, I'll move on.
You'll
from that.
There.
I'll get over it. I'll get over it. I mean, one suspects maybe she thought she could just learn on the job and she wouldn't have to deal with this level of rancor this early in.
Yes, and as a result, she didn't get the timing right. She needed, you really need when emotional heat is building, whether it's in the Dáil or anywhere else, you need to get in quickly and stop it coming to a rolling boil. She didn't do that. And the second thing is, and everybody knows this from school, you know that when a support teacher, a substitute teacher arrived into a class because the normal teacher couldn't be available, you know that for about 10 minutes, everybody in that class is given little pokes and little digs to find out how strong this teacher is. And in no time at all, if they identify that the teacher is weak, all hell breaks loose and torture happens, and it's Lord of the Flies sort of stuff. And then the real teacher comes back in and everybody goes, okay, sit down, back to normal. And it was that kind of lack of control that provoked behaviour that I think in some cases, just as happens in schools, even the nice kids get sucked into torturing the support teacher. Similarly, I think that some people yesterday in the Dáil got sucked into stuff that they really didn't like once they were in it.
With Verona Murphy, Danny, there was maybe a narrative emerging yesterday when it looked like the opposition were going to express a lack of confidence, that she'd have to fall on her sword, that that was kind of de rigueur in these situations, that you need, as Ciarán Corla, to be seen as impartial by everyone in the House. And comparisons made with John O'Donoghue when questions were raised and he did fall on a sword. Mm. Now, there was maybe kind of more concrete issues that he had to deal with rather than abstract things like a lack of credibility. How does this compare to the John O'Donoghue situation? And is the role of the Ciarán Corla different now?
Mm, I think they're fundamentally different. I think, you know, I was there at the time. You know, I think there was a series of revelations from Ken Fox, I think in the Sunday Tribune at the time, you know, just around the scale and the excess of John O'Donoghue's expenses at the time. And I think over week after week after week, there was an eroding of the confidence of the standing of the Ciarán Corla, not necessarily John O'Donoghue himself. And I think it was Eamon Gilmore, the then Labour Party leader, who essentially broke with tradition and got up on his feet and said, listen, these fresh revelations on this Sunday make your position untenable and we're going to move to a motion of no confidence. And ultimately he jumped before he was pushed. I think, you know, so therefore there was a direction of travel there, whereas this, you know, I think just came out of, you know, not out of nowhere, but I do think the opposition come across as being somewhat premature in relation to this. Like if a bad day in the chair is insufficient to allow calls for no confidence to be made, I think, we are in new territory, because then, you know, every Ciarán Corla would be on their wit's end almost on a daily basis.
But does it make it harder for her to do her job over the term of this Dáil if the opposition have already expressed a lack of confidence in her?
I think it certainly will make it more difficult, but I don't think is it a fatal kind of move? I don't think so, given, as we discussed earlier on, that there will be a comfortable enough majority of people supporting her or voting confidence in her. I don't think the government would certainly welcome her departure out of, you know, given the fact that they've invested so much in this deal to get her there in the first place. But also as well, I think ultimately, you know, from a Verona Murphy perspective, I mean, she will obviously take and learn lessons from how she's conducted herself. I think Terry's point was well made. I mean, there has been a pretty lengthy interregnum. She could have spent that time literally kind of gearing herself up as to how to be a chair, how to effectively control. I think I think her predecessor, Sean O'Farrell, showed himself a bit of a past master in taking the heat out of the Dáil chamber. I mean, he literally just never allowed himself to get rattled. He only occasionally kind of lost the rag, but was very good and very effective at taking the heat out of contentious Dáil season, whereas his predecessor, Sean Barrett, was a disaster at that. I mean, he often lost the head and was suspending the House at, you know, and kicking people out all over the place. So there is a temperament issue when it comes to the Ciarán Corla. I think privately the opposition will know, right, they've lost the primary vote or the substantive vote in terms of speaking rights. They'll have a motion of confidence. They'll have another crack at voicing their opposition. They'll lose that vote and we'll move on. That's ultimately how I see the next week or so playing out.
And Niall Collins is a Fianna Fáil TD from Limerick. Niall, is that how you see the next week playing out?
I do. I think it's been a very sad series of events, really. What we witnessed in the Dáil yesterday, in my time here in Dáil Éireann, was completely unprecedented. And I know Terry and Danny there have been analysing Verona Murphy to Ciarán Corla's performance. But look, I mean, nobody could be trained enough or experienced enough to, you know, handle or face the intimidation, the bullying, the, you know, the threatening behaviour, the boot boy tactics, which I've never seen in the years that I've been here. It's really unprecedented. And I think the opposition parties, when they sit back and reflect upon all of this, they'll see that they've completely overshot the runway. They've completely overreached. In fact, I know I've heard some of them speaking privately around the corridors of Leinster House only today that they feel that they've gone too far in relation to it. I think Micheál Martin was right this morning on leaders' questions to call them out in terms of, you know, fundamentally, when you boil this down, they're refusing to accept democracy. We had a vote last night. The vote was carried, or yesterday afternoon at least, the vote was carried by 95 to 74. That's a democratic exercise. It's an act of democracy. And they're you know, just simply not prepared to accept democracy. So if they put down a motion of no confidence in Verona Murphy, obviously we will support Verona Murphy. And we have the numbers. We were elected in greater numbers. We are the government and we have a working majority within Dáil Éireann. And we will absolutely support her, and she will not be hounded out of office or ran out of office by the boot boy tactics with the boot boy tactics that we saw yesterday.
Given how long this has dragged on for and the scenes we saw yesterday, are you sorry you tried to pull that stroke in the first place?
Well, it wasn't a stroke, and I think you know, you can keep calling it whatever you like, Kieran.
Call it what it was. Fine.
Well. It's not what it was, and I'm pushing back on you and I'm calling you out on it. Micheál Martin quite rightly detailed to the Dáil a number of parliaments right across Europe and as far away as Australia where government backbenchers have rightfully opportunities to exercise their representational role and their mandate to hold the government to account and to raise issues and to ask questions. Like, I mean, to be honest, I mean,
who came up with that argument?
Are very, very
modest.
Who came
up with that? Because for a while it was, this is only 8 minutes twice a week. What's everyone kind of losing the rag about? Until opposition pointed out, no, it's more than 8 minutes a week. There's 45 minutes here, there's 8 minutes there, there's another 6 minutes there. It adds up to over an hour a week. And lo and behold, the 8 minutes twice a week disappeared. And Micheál Martin's talk about parliaments in Australia.
Yeah, he's giving the example of where government MPs and government deputies right around the democratic world have a proper opportunity to partake in democracy in their parliament, which, and I know this because I've previously been a government backbencher for many years, where you have a very, very narrow scope to do that. And if you remember, right back at the very start of this whole sorry saga, the issue was the opposition did not want to lose speaking time at leaders' questions. So then we found a mechanism to ensure that they didn't and that they wouldn't and that they aren't going to lose any speaking time at leaders' questions. And then the issue became something else. And when that was addressed, you know, there was always another problem. And that's why Mary Butler had to spend over 20 hours sitting down with all the various representatives of the different parties. And she told me herself, you could never please them. There was never going to be a meeting of mine. So look, I mean, fundamentally, this was about, for the opposition, was just about playing politics. It was about trying to disrupt. And unfortunately, the Irish public are rightfully annoyed in relation to this. But I can tell the Irish public, who are interested and following this, the government are serious. We are serious about our business. We want to get on with the job of government and governing the country and facing up to the serious challenges that are out there. Yeah. Well, but the opposition seem hell-bent on just keeping this farcical charade going as long as possible.
Well, listen, you described it as a sorry saga, and I suspect members of the public, regardless of political persuasion, will agree with that description, at least. Niall Collins, Fianna Fáil TD for Limerick, Danny McConnell, editor with the Business Post, and Terry Prone, chairman of the Communications Clinic. Thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit HighFiveCasino.com. That's High, the number 5, Casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.